Well, inside out. How can I? And I guess you were wondering what on earth I was going to speak on. Well, how can I have a gentle, quiet spirit? And that's what our subject is today. And I missed out on the scones because I was so busy. But I have the best scone recipe in the whole world. It is so easy, and a friend gave it to me, and one of the things I wanted to do before I die was make good scones. And now I'm ready. Well, Windsor Road is a very, very busy road. And one day I was in the bumper-to-bumper traffic just in between McGrath's Hill and the big edge of Windsor. And I glanced to the grassy edge of the road and there was a black swan with her cygnets just fossicking around. And the quietness and comfort that was there just reminded me of the calmness that we can have as the world buzzes by us. And it reminded me of an old hymn. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, well, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. And I wonder what people see as they hurtle by us. I hope they see a gentle, quiet spirit that comes from knowing that we are encased in God's care, that we are just there. Do you know you are encased in God's care? Have you come to that place where you realised you have no peace in your heart? Have you come to that place where you realise it's because you do not have peace with God? God made you for Himself. And Augustine says we will be restless until we rest in Him. That is the starting point. Coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking Him for making the way open so that we can have peace with God. Our sins are forgiven. The barrier between us and God is gone because He died for us. And we can have peace with God, and that's the starting point to knowing the peace of God in our lives. He wants us to have that. He made us to have it. Otherwise our lives are just pointless unless they point us to God and we come to Him and we rest in Him for eternity. A gentle, quiet spirit is real beauty. Beautiful not only in the eyes of the beholder, but precious in God's eyes. Your beauty should be that of your inner self, the unfading, ageless, I've put in brackets, beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. All the adornment in the whole world cannot do this. All the facelifts, nothing like a facelift, I've heard. But all the outward adorning in the whole world cannot give anyone this beauty. And it's a beauty that is ageless. And you know, as we age, it's a beauty that is growing. And this is very, very precious. It is a spiritual beauty, a gentle, quiet spirit. And the emphasis is on the word spirit. And it's not our spirit. It's not our natural spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in us. Christ's spirit in us. That's the gentle, quiet spirit. And it's there as we live controlled by Him. His Holy Spirit is in us. And Galatians 5, verses 22 to 25 tells us that peace and gentleness are part of the fruit of the Spirit, part the result of having God's Holy Spirit in us. When you become a Christian, the moment you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are born again as Betty was telling us this morning, born of the Spirit. God gives us His Holy Spirit into our hearts and we become a spiritual person, God's person, part of His family. And this gentle, quiet spirit will come in the heart of a life who keeps in step with the Spirit. And I think that's in Galatians 5. 2, you follow down and it tells you, it says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Don't walk ahead, don't walk behind. Keep in step, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. When Peter mentions this beautiful Spirit, we find it is a submissive Spirit. We find that it's a woman that is not only submitted to God, but she has a submissive spirit in her relationship with everyone around her. This chapter speaks particularly of with her husband, but it also in other parts says we are to submit to one another. We are all to have this submissive spirit, and a submissive spirit will be a quiet, gentle spirit. It's the Lord Jesus' spirit. He was submitted. How about this? In 1 Peter chapter 2, where we read that he faced threats, insults, and finally death. And he didn't rebel, no. He entrusted himself to God's care. He had submitted himself to God's will. Wow! So this is the secret of ageless beauty. A surrendered heart to God, which is submissive in all its relationships around it. It's a woman who is safe in God's care and knows it, and is surrendered to God's control and shows it. This is a gentle, quiet spirit. And as the years go by, it grows more beautifully as we submit more and more to him and realise more and more that we are safe in him. And all those experiences that we go through teach us that we are safe in him and teach us to be submitted to him as well. A gentle, quiet spirit comes when all that we are is available to God and all that God is available to us. Safe in his care. Ian Thomas said that. Does what I'm saying remind you of what I said yesterday? Well, I'm so glad because we're still in chapter 12. And we're going to look at a gentle, quiet spirit from chapter 12. We're going to continue in this chapter, and we're going to look and see how the submitted spirit, the person surrendered to God, has a beautiful quality of quietness and gentleness. And it becomes a reality in our lives, and it brings glory to him. I'm going to turn it around. We call it a gentle, quiet spirit, but I'm going to start with a quiet spirit on the inside showing a gentle spirit on the outside. And so as we look at these verses, that's what we're going to find. It's Romans chapter 12 and verses 9 through to 12. Woo! Yes, well, right to the end of the chapter, actually. But first of all, the inside, the quiet spirit. That is verses 9 to 12. A quiet spirit, and you'll find it's a selfless spirit, it's a servant spirit, and it's a serene spirit. Selfless spirit, sincere, fastened, and humble. A servant spirit, zealous. A serene spirit, joyful, patient, and faithful. We'll cover all this. That's the inside, that's the quiet spirit. And then the outside, it's a gentle spirit. And this is verses 13 down through to 21. It's a giving spirit. And it's a forgiving spirit, like Christ. Giving and forgiving. Giving, generous, hospitable, empathetic. That makes me think of pathetic, but it's not. Generous, hospitable, empathetic, harmoniously humble and good. And it's forgiving. It's forgivable and it's gracious, full of grace. You know, I don't know, I read a Russ Brown's newsletter months ago, and I can't remember the exact words, but he had a little snippet, they're in Africa, about Jessica, his little girl. And he said that Jessica said she didn't want skin like grandma's because it didn't fit anymore. Well, a gentle, quiet spirit will always fit, and it will be very befitting, will be very becoming to the woman of God. It says she is obedient to God's word and surrendered to his will. So let's look at this inside quiet spirit from verses 9 to 12. This selfless spirit, which is sincere in love, fastened in goodness, and humble in I couldn't think of another word.
Okay,
let's just leave it as humble. Sincere in love, fastened in goodness, and it's humble, honours others above itself. This beautiful, quiet spirit is essentially a selfless spirit. See how it follows on from yesterday? It's got no thought of itself. There's no quandary. It's an uncomplicated spirit. We have so much difficulty understanding ourselves. God understands us, but we can have an uncomplicated spirit when it's a selfless spirit. There's no thought about will I or won't I, should or I, shouldn't I, do or I, don't I, whatever. It's an uncomplicated spirit which always puts the good of others first and doesn't think about will I or won't I. We work for the good of others. I will love them, warts and all. I will do what's good for them. And I will forget what I am and do. Whoops. I will forget what I am and do, but never forget what they do and what they are. So it's a selfless spirit that really thinks of others more than itself. Verse 9 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. So this is the quiet, selfless spirit. It's sincere in love. It's not easy to love sincerely. In fact, we can't. We can't by ourselves. We can only do it with God's love, divine love, which accepts people the way that they are and which wants only the best for them. That's what sincere love is. It accepts people the way they are and wants only the best for them. It is His love in us. And it tells us in the Bible that He has poured this special love, this agape love, into our hearts when He gave us His Spirit. It's a love which is over and above our natural love. And I think we've all come where we've had to extend ourselves with a love which is above our natural love. And it's when we extend out like that that we, by faith, take the love that God has poured in our hearts. Mary Slessor says, love is to live for. And so this quiet spirit lives for others, thinks of others. And it helps us to remember that everyone we meet needs God's love, and the only way they might see it may be in our love for them. And so that helps us to remember. An honest love which accepts them as they are and, like God, sees what they can be. That's a sincere love. And it begins on the inside as we deal with our natural feelings. And this is a matter of choice. And by faith, we operate on that supernatural feeling of God's love that He has given to us, which is bigger than feelings. So a quiet, selfless spirit works for the good of others. For the good of others. We find in these verses that it hates evil and clings to what is good. It is fastened in goodness. It has come from a heart which has put off the old nature, put off the sinful, selfish life, and hangs on to God's righteousness and His goodness. And it makes life once again so uncomplicated when we seek only good. The quiet, selfless spirit is humble. It has a genuine appreciation and admiration of others. Genuine. This is so hard. It chooses to see them as Christ sees them. It values their graces and gifts above our own. Oh, this is so hard. And when we compliment them, there's no hidden hope that they will give us a compliment in return. This is Christ's spirit in us. It's not our natural selves. When we can honour others above ourselves. Such a woman is eager to have others honoured above herself. What a beautiful spirit. Imagine it. That's about all I can do. But I can do more than that. Pray for it. Pray for it in all sincerity that God will help us to honour others above ourselves and so have this quiet spirit inside. And praise God for the incidents that keep you humble. do it. There's a million a day, aren't they? And they give us a good laugh, don't they? It's wonderful to laugh at yourself. And seeing God as he is makes us humble, and seeing ourselves as we are keeps us humble. I remember one day Laurie called me to the phone and I ran like mad to get it, and I put on my glasses and said, "Hello." I didn't even have the handpiece in my hand. And I thought, oh, isn't this great? So thank God for those humbling things that do keep us remembering who we are. I love the car sticker, "Be patient with me." Be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. He is working in us. And this quiet spirit seems so lofty. We can't have it on our own. It is only through his spirit in us. It's going to take a lifetime right to the end. He is working in us as we submit to him. As a selfless spirit, sincere in love, fastened in goodness and humble. And you know what? It's a spirit that is an ordered spirit. It puts others, God first, others next, and ourselves last. A quiet spirit has it all in order. It's that flurry, scurry spirit, chaotic spirit, that doesn't have the quietness that God can give. And it is a servant spirit, verse 11. "Never lacking in zeal, keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord." So this quiet spirit is serving the Lord, and it's zealous in serving him. And it doesn't give up. It knows that what our labour is not in vain, it's for the Lord. And so this serving spirit is serving the Lord. It's not self-service, it's serving the Lord. And that gives us a real quietness when we get that all into the right perspective. The work is God's, and we're doing it for God. We serve others, we are serving the Lord. We're doing it for him, not for their praise or glory. We're doing it for the Lord. See how it brings this quietness into what we do. And it's his work. He brings the harvest in his time. And so we are quiet when we know that we don't have to see instant results. And it's not a takeaway service where you immediately see the results for what you did. He guides us where to go, and as we seek his will, he guides us when to say no. Very important to know that the work we are doing is the work that he planned for us to do. And don't have the pressures that would mess up our quiet spirit by trying to do what they want us to do. But we know that we are doing the work that he wants us to do. Very hard to say no, but this quiet spirit is able, because she knows that the work God planned her to do is the one she is doing. This quiet A servant spirit has the calm assurance that what God calls us to do, he enables us to do, and it keeps cool. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be cool if I didn't know that what God calls me to do, he enables me to do, and it's the same for you. Faithfulness in little things is a big thing. I may not be able to do great things, but I will do small things in a great way. And it can be anything, and I'm doing it for God. Do those small things in a great way for God. I've probably told you before, but I'll tell you again. Creche for KYB, and David said, "My father's a teacher." And Bridget said, "My father's normal." So we can be normal. That's all God wants us to be, is ourselves. But whatever he calls us to do, big or small, we can do it in a great way. We are securely calm, knowing that God has a plan for our lives. That beautiful passage in that Psalm 139. God has scheduled our days, and that brings a beautiful calmness. I will not perhaps go today, because I know how to make scones. But God has a day for me when he's calling me home. He has a day for you. But we are to be faithful to the end. He has a work for us to do at this stage in our life, perhaps we couldn't do before. Young women, that you are in touch with people in your life today that perhaps you'll never be in touch with again. And so we submit to his plan for our life, the great designer. And in submissive obedience, we move obediently according to his will, faithful to the end. Having a God-ordered life gives a God-ordained beauty. Now, a quiet spirit is a serene spirit, and this is from verse 12. It is joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. A serene spirit. Colossians tells us, 3 and 15, to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We are able to let it or not to let it. It's our choice. And a serene spirit will let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We are called to peace with God, and now we have God's peace. He's given it to us. It's not a peace that the world gives. He's given it to us, and we are to let it rule. And this verse also in Colossians tells us, and be thankful. That's very important in a quiet spirit. We are to have a gratitude attitude, and this will help our quiet spirit. If we're always wanting what we haven't got and not wanting what we've got, we are not going to have a quiet spirit. It's a gratitude attitude, a contented spirit, grateful for God's past mercies, grateful for his present mercies, and certain of his future mercies. This is a quiet spirit. There's an exquisite serenity in the person who has made a deliberate adjustment to God, a deliberate surrendered their life to him and handed over to him past, present, future. Back and beyond, she sees God's hand of mercy there for her. We know he is working for good. He's told us so. We know it is for our good and his glory. He's told us so. And we know, whoa, I thought I had something else to say here. Oh, this is bad. But anyhow, I think it comes later on. We know he is working for good. And so we can thank him for that. We may not see the good, but we know he is working for good. Knowing this means that we can look at tomorrow joyful in hope, that whatever happens tomorrow, he will work it for good, for our good and his glory. Joyful in hope for tomorrow, knowing that we might not see it, but it's there. He told us so. Romans 8, 28 and verse 29. Remember the verse 29 bit. Joyful in hope. We could never survive without hope, could we? Never. And our hope is anchored in the Lord, and it can never be hopeless. Our hope is anchored in him, so we can rejoice and be thankful in him. Proverbs tells us, chapter 15, verse 15, a cheerful heart has a continual feast. And I'd like to say that it gives a nice banquet to everybody else too. So if we can be joyful in the Lord, day in and day out, whatever's happening, that's where our joy is, that's where our hope is, not in the circumstances around us. We'd be crazy to look at some of those circumstances and rejoice in them. They're terrible. We've got to recognise that. If we don't recognise that, it's not healthy for us, for our minds. We've got to see what's happening as it is, but rejoice in the Lord, knowing that he's there too, and in him we have hope. He is our hope. A grateful heart is a great virtue. We can play the glad game. Even when it's bad, there's something to be glad about. Pollyanna's game. And sure as eggs, if we play that glad game, we'll find the stuff that we're being glad about is from the Lord, and because he is Lord. God gives us enough light and strength for today, and we know it's going to be the same tomorrow. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. We can be joyful in hope. He is here, around us, ahead of us, behind us, all around us. Once for primary camp, a few years ago, I cut a hole in this big box, and I put one of the little kids in the middle, and round the edge it said these words, "You are all around me on every side. You protect me with your power. Imagine yourself today in that box. God is around, all around you on every side. He protects you with your power. You are safe, you are secure in Him. And that's Psalm 139, verse 5, but it's the Good News translation. You know, the woman who worries misses all the sunshine because she's forever expecting rain. Joyce Landoff said that. I thought of another great quote about expecting rain. No, it doesn't matter. Okay. The woman who worries misses out on so much. The sunshine's there, but she's expecting rain. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. You just go over and over, up and down in the same spot. Worse than that, it robs us of our joy in the Lord. It becomes a habit, and it is a sin. It is. Because if we worry, we do not trust. But if we trust, we do not worry. Anxieties are quite natural, and they come. We can't stop them. What are you going to do with them? You hand it straight over to the Lord. Hand it over and leave it with Him. Somebody said, it's not like when you're fishing and you have the fishing line in so that you can pull it out again. You cast your care on Him and you leave it there. Don't keep on pulling it out again. And this gives us a quiet spirit. It is because we can rejoice in hope that we can persevere in tribulation. And that brings us to our next point. A quiet spirit is patient in affliction. We know God will give us Christ's strength to face whatever we have to face, and His strength to do whatever we have to do, His strength to get through whatever we have to get through. He knows our load limit. He will not give us more that we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And He has promised He will help us to stand up under that trouble and so get through it. Sometimes it might go on forever. Some of ours seem to have 18 years with David. He is helping me stand up under it. I haven't come to the through part yet, but you know what? I think standing up under it is the through part, don't you? I do. We know that God has great purpose in what is happening today to make us more like the Lord Jesus. Because we surrender more to Him, we hand everything over to Him, we leave it to Him, and we trust in Him, and we become more like Him. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 5 and verses 2 to 5 that we not only can endure these tribulations, we can exult in them. You've got to be kidding. But it does say that, because it says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We know that God's going to be glorified in what's happening. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And it's the character of the Lord Jesus, and it's the hope that one day we will be perfect like Him when we're in heaven, not here. The trial of our faith is precious. Do you know what? It's more precious than gold. And do you know who it's most precious to? God. He wouldn't allow this trial for you if your faith wasn't the most precious thing about you. That faith is, in God's eyes, our faith is so precious to Him. And so this trial that He's allowing is so that our faith will be purified, found genuine, and will be refined, will grow, and will result in praise and honour and glory to Him. A man felt sorry once for a cocoon. Well, wasn't for the cocoon, it was for the thing inside the cocoon. But he knew that the thing inside the cocoon was struggling to get out. And so he pierced the cocoon to let it out. You know, the butterfly couldn't fly because the struggle in the cocoon is designed to strengthen the wings. And so when it did come out, its wings were all shriveled. It could not fly. God will not leave you there any longer than is necessary. He is giving you the strength to fly. Okay, so, but to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, we've got to be faithful in prayer. That's where it all starts. The peace, serenity that passes understanding, this quiet spirit, is ours to repair. Anxious about nothing, prayerful about everything, and thankful about anything. Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7. That's where we'll be able to be patient in tribulation, joyful in hope, as we're faithful in prayer. And Satan would want to keep us away from that prayer life. A quiet spirit will be a prayerful spirit. SOS prayers during the day. Oh Lord, a parking spot. Little things. Oh Lord, patience. Big things. Little things, big things. A heart that is in tune with God and speaking to God. Like Lyndall sang, not forgetting Him in every part of our day. God knows what He is doing. Chuck Swindoll said, His earthly plans don't always make... His heavenly plans don't always make earthly sense. Oh dear. But yes, His heavenly plans don't always make earthly sense. And God never forgets what He's doing. He is working quietly. He knows what He is doing. He is doing what is best. I found a baby snail on my vegetable peelings one day, and I was such a cutie. I took him down. Oh, I think it was a him. Took him down to the compost heap. And then during the day I thought, oh, I've got to turn that compost heap over. Bang, bang, bang. I thought, what happened to the snail? I felt very sad about that. God doesn't forget what He's doing. He knows exactly, and we are encased in His care. And this gives us a quiet spirit. Anxiety never strengthens you for tomorrow. It just weakens you for today. That's what it does. The first answer to the prayer of faith is peace. God's peace. God allows us to go through trials, troubles and trifles. They're the little things. Why? To draw us closer to Him, to know His presence and His power and His peace as we have never known it before. Have you seen the gentleness of this Christ-like spirit coming, as we've talked about the quiet, the gentleness of Christ's spirit coming, as we've talked about the quiet spirit that He can give us? A gentle spirit comes out of a quiet spirit, a submissive spirit, a servant spirit, a serene spirit. And in the remaining verses we see this gentle spirit, and it's reaching out, touching the lives of others, but it comes from the quiet spirit. So let's look at outside, gentle spirit. And this is verses 13 to 21. A gentle spirit is soothing, kind, patient, humble, giving and forgiving. That's what a gentle spirit is. It's like meekness. It's not weakness, it's controlled strength. Living for God and living for others. God has given us the gentle spirit of Christ through His spirit in us. And as we look at this gentle spirit, we're going to see once again it's a Christ-like spirit. Have you seen the bracelet that the young girls like to wear? WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I think that's wonderful. So in a gentle spirit, it's a Christ-like spirit. Each little bead has a sign on it. I should explain it. A little letter. WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's what a gentle spirit is. It's doing what Jesus would do. But you know, you can have another translation of WWJD, walk with Jesus daily. So as we walk with Jesus daily, we get a quiet spirit, and then we will do what Jesus would do, the gentle spirit. And it's a giving spirit, verses 14 to 16, and a forgiving spirit. This is a gracious spirit. It's full of the Lord's grace. Giving everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Giving everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. That's what a gentle, gracious spirit is. It's a gentle, quiet spirit, a peaceful spirit, and it enables us to live at peace with everyone. Verse 18. It is giving, generous, hospitable, empathetic, harmoniously humble, and good. That's all these verses. It's all there. Generous. We meet the needs of others, particularly our fellow believers. For me to love the whole world is no chore. My only problem's my neighbour next door. Sometimes we can love the world, give to missionaries, da-da-da-da-da, but our fellow believers right next door, woo. But we are to be generous. We are to love them. And it tells us particularly to look after the needs of our fellow believers. We've got to see their needs as more important than our own. It comes back to that selfless spirit. We can't get away from it. This is an outside sign of real maturity. Reader's Digest told me that the sign of maturity is to think of others more than yourself. So there you go. Okay. Well, we practice hospitality. In the Greek, which I don't know, but hospitality actually means welcoming strangers. So we are to look for opportunities to reach out to strangers and their needs. And we don't have to have a sumptuous meal or an enormous house. We just have to make them feel at home. And perhaps I think they might feel more at home without the sumptuous meal and the exquisite house. We are to be hospitable, welcome strangers, seek opportunities to reach out to those in need. And a gentle spirit enters into the joys and sorrows of others. It's empathetic. Verse 15. Yesterday I said, don't want to walk in someone else's shoes. Don't want to try to be like they are. Be who you are. But to be empathetic, we have to be able to walk in someone else's shoes. We've got to feel for them. Feel for them where they are at. It's more than feel for them. It's feel with them. It's bigger, bigger than sympathy. Sympathy, we can feel for somebody. Empathy, we feel with them. Enter into their joys and into their sorrows. You know, it's not easy to enter in and to rejoice with people. Not at all. It's not easy to feel really happy for what they've got and they haven't got. That's not easy. Not easy at all. But with a Christ-like spirit, we can. We can enter in. We can feel genuinely happy for them. They've got this, they've got that. I'm not going to enumerate it, but you can think of it. And we can ask God. You know, we've just got to ask. That's all. His Spirit is there. We want to let His Spirit control our lives. We ask Him, help me to be happy for those people. And He will. I've proved it. And help me to forget about me. And I've proved that too. But it happens time and time again. Okay, and to mourn with those who mourn doesn't mean that we need all the answers. We've just got to be there to listen with our heart. Be there for them and point them to the Lord at the appropriate time. Share with them the comfort that He has given us, the strength that He has given us. Doesn't mean we necessarily have to be exactly where they are at, but it does mean that we have experienced His strength. And we can pass that on. And we are to live in harmony. Even if it means playing second fiddle, we will play in tune. We are to be harmoniously humble. We are going to accept what our job is, accept what their job is, and work together. A modest person doesn't blow his nose. K-N-O-W-S. I like that. So we are to be harmoniously humble. And not to blow our nose. We will be I saw another quote and it said, the empty bell makes, no. Oh. Makes the most sound at any rate. Something that, an empty vessel makes the most sound. Excellent, yes. But it's not. We don't want to be that empty vessel that's making a whole lot of sound. We want to be God's vessel. Filled with His quiet, gentle spirit. And a gentle spirit will be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 17. We are to have a genuine respect, even for our enemies, and do good to them. Enemies might seem like too strong a word. For Christians, we probably think, oh, we don't have any enemies. And I'm sure we've got people who don't think like we think and don't think how they should think. We're sure of that. Don't think, yes. And I'm sure we've got people, maybe we couldn't label them enemies, but we could label them perhaps difficulties, maybe. We are to seek their good. We'll be good. Good for nothing. Do you know what that means? We'll do good for them without expecting anything in return. They wouldn't do it at any rate, so don't worry. But we are to be good. Good for nothing. Good to them, even if they're not being good to us. Living at peace with everyone certainly requires a quiet and a gentle spirit which is not our own. It requires that gentle spirit of Christ himself, as particularly for the next bit and the last bit, a forgiving spirit. Hang on. Verses 14 and 17. Oh well, and a whole heap more. All those little bits right down to verse 21. A forgiving spirit. A gentle spirit is a giving spirit and a forgiving spirit. To err is human. To forgive is divine. Alexander Pope said that. To forgive is divine. We're going to need that Christ-like spirit to be able to forgive as God forgives. It requires a special love, God's love. This is a love which can love the unlovely and forgive the unforgivable. Very big. It doesn't only forgive and forget, but these verses tell us it blesses them. Oh, my goodness. Acts of kindness instead of revenge. And what it could, it may even melt him, or them, or her. Heap coals of fire on their head. Maybe it'll make them realise what they've done in a very gentle way as we give kindness to them, not revenge. The unforgiving spirit is a form of pride. And you know what? You know it hurts more the person who is unforgiving than anybody else. That bitter spirit grows up in the unforgiving spirit and it kills our spiritual life. Very, very dangerous. What does forgive mean? I asked my fifth grade scripture class once, and a little boy put up his hand and he said, "Things go on as they were before." Isn't that marvellous? A forgiving spirit, things go on as though it had never happened. It goes on as it was before. Well, to finish, how can we have a gentle, quiet spirit? Repent. God wants peace. You can have with you. He's done everything for you so that you can have his peace and peace with him. But to have a gentle, quiet spirit, come to God. Make your peace with him. He sent the Lord Jesus to die for you so that you could belong to him, be part of him. This is wonderful. Repent, receive God's salvation. That's the beginning. Peace with God. Rejoice in the peace that you have. He has given us his peace. Rejoice in it. Realize God's care control in your life today. He is caring for you. He is in control. He knows what he's doing. Relinquish the controls of your life. Hand over to him. Do what you can, but leave what you can't for him to do. He will show you the difference. Remember that nice prayer, serenity prayer? Reach out in peace and work for peace with all those around you. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. And that was St. Francis of Assisi.